Cool.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
Being a feature of very few words, Pack Time explores things that make you go, that happened November 3rd. Breakfast for bachelors became easier in 1952. That's when frozen bread was offered for sale for the first time in a supermarket in Chester, New York. Proving that some dogs will do anything, in 1957, the Soviets launched Sputnik 2 with a dog named Laika on board. And until this show came along, all you had in the morning for entertainment was Good Morning America, which premiered on ABC TV today in 1975. That's Pack Time for November 3rd. This is your announcer speaking.
A new eco-friendly Hummer is engineered to kill its driver. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. General Motors gave reporters a look today at a new earth-sensitive Hummer guaranteed to kill the owner during its first week on the road. Engineers have made the killing process relatively pain-free, unless the car's onboard computer discovers that his second car is a Cadillac Escalade. GM spokesman Russ Manville.
This new model is the only car that attacks the root of the problem with the latest cutting-edge technology.
After the new Hummer has carefully disposed of its owner, it will seek and destroy older Hummer models within a three-state radius. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
And now, from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Monday, November 3rd.
Wow.
Good morning, Susie. One day before the election.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Are you ready? Are you all excited and warm all over?
Oh, my God. Not really, actually. I can't believe it's here already.
Yeah. I know.
Are you ready?
Pretty much, yeah. But I have last-minute doubts with my choices.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? At this point, it really doesn't even matter. I'm going to bring a hat to the poll,
yeah.
And I'm going to take my choices, and I'm going to crumple them up, and I'm going to pick into the hat at the last minute, and I'm going to be like, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah, you might as well, because, I mean, we don't really get to choose the president anyway, you know.
I know.
And in California, it's most likely to be Democratic anyway, so,
yep.
You know, whoever's Republican...
You're out of luck.
Yeah, they're casting a vote for nothing, pretty much. But I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? So what was this thing about Sarah Palin over the weekend? You started telling me...
Oh, my gosh. It was so bad. I have this thing on my computer that pops up when I open the internet, and it's a thing called, like, popular URLs.
Uh-huh.
And one of, like, the top ones that kept coming up was that Sarah Palin was pretty much pranked over the weekend.
Really?
Yes, by these two radio hosts in Quebec.
Uh-huh.
So they've got their French Canadian accent, which keep in mind is completely different than like the French accent.
Right.
And so anyway, they ended up calling her on the air and getting her secretary, and they ended up convincing the secretary that it was the French Prime Minister.
Really?
Yes. So poor Sarah Palin gets on the air, and she's like, oh, heidi ho there, oh, Prime Minister, oh, thank you so much for coming, oh, yes, oh, this is just lovely having you on the phone, sir, oh, yes. People say I don't know shit about, you know, foreign policy and everything, but they're wrong, you know, and this proves it because you're calling me.
Uh-huh.
And she was just going on and on.
Why are you doing an accent for Sarah Palin?
Because it kind of sounds like her, doesn't it? Fuck you. But the worst part was then the quote-unquote, the French prime minister, he starts saying to her, he's like, oh, I can't, he's like, I go hunting, and he's like, I can't wait to get up in a helicopter with you, and we'll go kill those poor defenseless little animals. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's lovely. And she just keeps saying, like, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes,
that's what she said?
Uh-huh.
Did you get to hear the clip?
I heard the whole clip.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We should actually play part of it. It's hysterical.
Yeah, we'll have to find it, because that's a good idea. I didn't even think about it.
Yes, yes.
And that's really funny.
It really, really, really is.
Wow. Yeah. I saw in the headlines today, they're saying that she's probably a liability for McCain. I mean, they've been saying it before, but they're saying now that I think there's a poll or something that tells them that she's causing more damage than helping.
Oh, at this point, you know, I think he kind of had lost it anyway.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But I can't wait for tomorrow. It's going to be an awesome day.
I know.
And
it'll be.
Today we're going to have a show filled with people that write great books, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be 10 people. You know? We're going to have one calling in a few minutes. And then
what happened to the damn porn stars is what I want to know.
I know. It's like they promise and then they disappear and then they promise again and stuff like that, you know? But we're going to have two great writers in the studio.
Okay.
One is a former LA Times TV critic. His name is Howard Rosenberg. And I know I've read his column every once in a while, you know. And then he's got a co-writer named Charles Feldman, who has worked for CNN and so forth. And they're going to talk about, like, the problems with the speed with which the media reports things, you know. Mm. And often it's, like, inaccurate and stuff. And I thought this is, like, very relevant now, you know, and
yep.
Especially with the elections and everything, you know, we get like so many facts given to us and we don't even know if it's true or not, you know.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing. I mean, once the media comes out with something and they say it, mm-hmm. And it's out there, it doesn't matter if they take it back the next day or if they print like a retraction.
Absolutely.
You know,
you're
if
right.
They print a retraction at the bottom of their website being like, oh, by the way, what I said yesterday, no one's going to notice that. No one's going to pay any attention.
Right. I know, and we go to sleep believing something, and then you get up the next morning, and it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with the elections, you know, we had like a few years back, you know, they would announce something, and then they had to retract, and because it was a different winner, and
it's such
geez,
a pain,
you know.
That's why, you know, it's better not even to follow these things and like pay attention to it. I mean, I was noticing this just yesterday when I was at the taping for Tracy's show.
Yes, we went yesterday to see Tracy Bingham.
Yes, yes,
taping the last episode of her reality show and to see whether she won.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of us stayed long enough to find out. I had to get back to the station.
Yes, yes.
And you watched it for a while.
I watched it for a couple of hours, but then it just ended up being too long, and my attention span is really not that great to sit still in a little tiny plastic chair and act as like a clap machine.
Yeah, that's exactly what you
want. But, you know, they kept having the same thing as they do for the presidential elections, which is what I'm sure they're going to be showing tomorrow. You know, they would have, you know, different states highlighted, and it's like, oh, who's ahead in this state? Oh, wait, but no, it's changing now. Look, it's changed now. Who's ahead in this state? Oh, my God.
What
we've
has
got
happened
swing
to television?
States. they were actually kind of equating it to the real elections, being like, you know, screw the real elections. This is the most important thing on news right now.
I know. You saw on their website, it says Decision 2008.
Yes.
Know? You had to decide whether Gretchen Bonaducci or...
Or Tracy Bingham,
yeah,
or Kato Kaelin.
Kato Kaelin.
He's so kind of cute, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
No. Well, I told you, he's considered like a male bimbo, you know?
You know what? Upon seeing him yesterday, I was just like, damn, why the hell didn't Sam tell me he was cute? I met him actually on my way out. So
did you really?
Yeah.
Did you say hi to him?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, when I was leaving, I saw Gretchen Bonaducci walking up to the building and stuff. So she was all like dressed up and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
With her long red hair.
They all look like Barbie dolls.
Yeah. I mean, nobody would have known about her had it not been for the show with her husband, you know?
And no one would know about the Kato dude except for the OJ
trial. Or the OJ trial. There you go, you know?
It's amazing what makes people famous these days.
It is. So we went to the CBS studios. And
isn't it Fox?
Yeah. No, it's CBS.
Oh, I thought it was Fox.
I think the show is being taped at CBS, but it's for Fox or something.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Right. It is a Fox reality show or something.
I didn't know they were that incestuous.
No, I think they do that. They share resources, I think, sometimes.
That's kind
but
of nice of them.
This is definitely CBS here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a pretty big lot, huh? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that. I thought we could walk there. And can you imagine if we had to walk across the whole fucking
lot? Not in the
lot?
Heels I was wearing yesterday. My feet were already killing me from dancing in high heels all weekend.
Yeah. Where were you dancing?
Oh, do you want to go there?
I suppose I do. We've got a couple hours to kill.
Well, you know how I was like stressing out about everything in my life last week. I had to, you know, I had to finish my UCLA application by Friday night at midnight. So I thought.
Really?
I am the biggest idiot in the fucking world, Sam. Can I just tell you that?
yeah, you can tell me that.
So I've been stressing out all month about finishing my UCLA application by October 31st, and I swear to God, I read it on the website saying that that was the date, no later than midnight on October 31st, could I get my application in. So I'm trying to submit my application at like 10 o'clock on Friday,
uh-huh.
And for some reason, like the website's saying, no, you cannot submit your application until midnight. And I'm like, oh, okay. But they're meaning November 1st.
Oh.
So then I go back and I check the deadlines. Uh-huh. The latest it could be in is November 31st. I didn't go
November
to
November
30th, whatever.
Yeah, there's no 31st.
Close enough.
Okay.
I didn't go to Vancouver like for this main reason.
Really?
Yes.
Jeez.
Do you know, like, I really hope my friends in Canada are not listening because they are going to kill me if they find out that I made, like, this big of a mistake and didn't go because of this.
Yeah. So you're a month early.
I am a month early for the first time in my life.
Well, that's not a bad thing. It could have been worse if you were late.
Well, now I've got, now I've got another month to, like, you know, fiddle with the essays and make sure they're absolutely perfect and give them out to people and have them read them and check them and, yeah. I don't know.
What a pain in the ass to do those things. I remember I had to do
that. Oh, my God, you have no idea. Essays. It's gotten even worse in this day and age. It really has.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Why? In what way?
I don't know what things were back... were like in the good old days, but... Sorry, no offense. Usually I would get, like, a fuck you for that, you know?
Yeah, well,
growing here, Sam.
Yes, I'm getting used to it.
I don't know. They're just, like, they're so picky and they're so competitive. And, I mean, they have these different point systems that you really just... I don't know. I think it was easier to get back into school back in your day.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't think so.
I do. Not that many people, like, not, you know, if you look at the statistics, not that many people went to college.
Yeah.
Especially not even women back then.
Yeah.
You know?
Back then when? When exactly
back
do you
then
think
in
back
the Stone
then?
Age when you were in school?
I went back to college, so I graduated in 1990. I guess
that's still 20
that's
years
still
ago.
A long time.
So that's a very long time ago.
For me, it
was
at a late age. I went back to school at 27.
Wow. I will be graduating high school by the... Or not high school.
College.
I can't speak. I had a really rough, long weekend.
Okay, so, well, I guess we're going to hear about it after the phone call we make.
Sure.
Because we should call that writer. She wrote a book called Capitalizing on Kindness.
I like the title already.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, you need to be a little kinder, no?
Me? I'm way too kind, and it gets me into trouble on a daily basis.
No, you're the kindest person I know.
Thank you.
So, and her name is Kristen Tilquist. So, let's bring her on the line in a couple of minutes. Now, why don't you, there's like a couple points there. I kind of wanted you to touch on the book. I think it's like for, more like in business and stuff, but I think
okay.
It can help you, you know, whatever you do.
All right. Let's see what it says here. It says, the successes of many of the most accomplished professionals come as a result of developing the five powers of kindness. One, reputation, being trusted and building a strong reputation. Two is reciprocity, garnering reciprocal kindnesses from others. Personality, learning to be someone that others like. Four is thanks, being gracious and appreciative of others. And five is connecting, building a strong network of relationships. Simply stated, doing good is good business.
Oh, wow. You see, so it's got quite a few things there and sounds pretty interesting. I mean, it's logical things, but or things that, you know,
people always seem to think you need to be cutthroat and just like, you know, stepping on other people to like get to the top.
Yeah.
I kind of like her business plan.
Do you? Okay, good morning. Is this Kristen?
And how are you?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Great. Where are we catching you at? Are you on the West Coast, East Coast, somewhere in between?
You know, I'm right near where you are. I'm actually in Riverside, California.
Oh, wow.
We could have had you come in the studio.
Yeah, you see, all our authors are from New York for some reason. So Riverside is good.
There's a lot going on the East Coast, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So have you lived in California all your life, pretty much?
No, I've been out here for 8 years now, actually. I used to live in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada.
I was supposed to be there last weekend. It's my favorite place in the world.
Oh, wow. So
don't you love it? I love Vancouver. It's such a beautiful city.
You know what? I'm trying to find a Canadian to marry me just so I can go get citizenship because I love it so much there.
I've yet to see
That's
anybody.
A great strategy.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, she's smart. You know, I've yet to meet anybody who does not like Vancouver. You know, it's just a unique place. I think
it really is.
It's an amazing thing. So is that where you learned about kindness the first time?
Well, I learned about it a lot, especially during travels across the world, actually. I lived in Japan and also in Prague in the Czech Republic, and then I was an attorney. And so a variety of different experiences have shown how relationships really make all the difference and how building strong relationships and how kindnesses just make the world go round. I mean, it's what makes commerce work. It's what makes interpersonal relationships work. It is, it's apparent in every day, in every instance.
Yes, and I would imagine it's I guess harder to come by for some people than others to be kind, like naturally, right?
I think that you see some people who seem to be naturally kind. It just seems that they just emanate kindness. They are so kind and compassionate and caring, and people are drawn to them, and they're drawn to them in their professional lives as well. Other people, what I do in the book is I give them practice pointers so that they can think of ways that are quick, easy, not too complicated, and they can go ahead and do kindnesses that are easy to slip into their day, and there's little techniques that they can use, and I like to give people those little pointers as well.
Right. And we went over them real quickly, and they seem common sense things and stuff, but I guess when you put them together, it totally makes sense. And so do you find that in business, people do not practice enough kindness?
Well, you know, interesting point, too. I think that when something is common sense, that's when you know it's right. Because a lot of times you hear about business strategies and business practices, and they seem kind of complex, and you're trying to memorize things, and you're trying to learn acronyms, but what I find what's successful, both in the practice of law and in politics, is when it makes sense and it's intuitively making sense, then you know it's the right thing. It's going to work.
Right.
So that really makes a difference.
Right. So, but going back to the question, so in business in general, I mean, I know that...
people always say it's not personal, it's business. You know, and that's their excuse to kind of be an asshole towards you, I find.
Yeah.
But, of course, it is. I mean, it is personal. Everything to do, where is the lines? Where do we draw the lines in business and personal life? Especially in the 21st century, it's really 24/7. It's really, I have a hard time distinguishing sometimes between when my work day starts versus when it finishes, because you're doing things you enjoy, you're working with people who are your friends and your colleagues and your boss and your employer and employee. And so I think that to just try and distinguish and say, well, what I do for business and I can be a jerk in business, but I'm going to be nice at home, is totally artificial.
Right, yeah. And does it happen where people are kind in their personal lives and then they're not so kind in business?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah?
My father's a great example of that.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. I mean, I don't know. Most of the people that I know and that I interviewed for the book and that I've talked to in case studies and research and examples, they really are just good people. And some of the most successful CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies and so on are not big flamboyant personalities. They're not the types that you might think are making the headlines. They're just good, solid, honest people who are caring about their employees. They care about the outcomes for their clients and their customers. And that's why they're so successful, not because they're some large personality, but because they're just a good, solid person.
Right. And, you know, when I started this station, I realized that I've become sort of like a lot kinder person, you know. not that I've never been, you know, because...
I'd hate to know you before.
Yeah. No, I just mean that in dealing with people, because I've had to deal with so many people lately, that... but you know what? I felt that I still do, that it comes naturally to me. You know, I mean, I was raised to be kind and so forth. So I figure it's not that hard for me. But what I do find out is that someone told me that they say you're killing people with kindness, and it seems that way. You know, then people are grateful to you, they appreciate what you do, and like you said, they're drawn to you.
And the loyalty, I'm sure you've seen this yourself, Ben, is the loyalty you gain. I mean, if you are kind and caring to other people in your business world, in your professional life, then they will want to do the same thing back to you. If you stay late for someone to help them on a deadline, they'll stay late for you and help you on your deadline, of course. Hopefully they'll do it for you anyway because they're kind. But once you've built up that reciprocity reserve, you've done favors, you've helped people, it's natural for you, then you've built up this reserve. It's almost like a bank account. It's a reserve account, right, where you've put your kindness in, your kindness capital is infused into this account, and then it's there for you to draw on whenever you need or want, and people will willingly do it.
See, sometimes I kind of have the opposite problem, and I don't really find that it's reciprocal. You know, I kind of feel that I always give, and I'm too kind, and I overextend myself, and that people just tend to expect that's the person I am, and that they can always just rely on me to do all these things for them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a lot of the time it's not really reciprocal, and so I find people end up walking all over me a lot of the time, and I need to learn how to, I don't know, be a little bit less kind, I suppose.
Yeah. But wouldn't you think that kindness is something that
you
want
to do? You
don't
expect something
exactly,
back.
Exactly.
Yes.
Would you agree with
absolutely.
That, Kristen?
Oh, absolutely. And I agree that the basic reason for being kind, which you're obviously both doing, is for the good of other people. And that's where it should come from. Absolutely. I mean, in business or in personal life, we're kind and caring to people because it's the right thing to do and because you want to and you want to be nice to people. But what typically happens, though, is that people respond in kind. It's just a natural instinct. If someone's kind to you, you're kind back to them. Now, occasionally, the nice guy finishes last myth might seem to be a real myth. But what you find is that you look at overall statistics. I mean, companies perform 35% to 40% better. Their stock values go up 35% to 40% as compared to companies that don't practice corporate kindness. And what I think what you're describing, Susie, was really more a little bit of the exception to the rule. And sometimes I think what it is being making sure that you are having a strong approach while having a kind approach. So sometimes you have to balance the two, and it's not meant to be, not to say you're doing it this way, but it's not meant to be a wimpy strategy. It's a very strong strategy. I mean, you have to look out for yourself, of course, and you always are advancing your own goals and your own objectives at the exact same time that you're helping someone else advance their goals and their objectives.
That's where I'm not doing it.
Now, but let me ask you, you know, I mean, I look at some people that are considered, let's say, great leaders in business. Like, and the first thing that comes to mind is Donald Trump, okay? Now, this guy is very successful. Obviously, a lot of people under him, but he doesn't seem kind to me. What do you think there?
You know, that's interesting because I actually mentioned him in the book. And he is, again, and a little bit of an exception to the rule. He's got a very flamboyant personality, and he's made his mark as a media figure and as a media personality. So he's a little different. I mean, it's not to say. I mean, you also see different sorts of TV shows that are focused on essentially being nasty to each other. And that can be entertaining for people, I suppose. But if you look at long-term business success, as well as short-term business success, typically the person who cooperates and looks for ways to expand the pool of resources for everybody, not just for themselves, typically those are the people who are most successful.
Mm. Yeah, well, I suppose. But I know that, you know, people look to leaders to be kind to them, to be thoughtful, to understand them, you know, and I think these are very important things, even in your daily life, whether you're a CEO or not.
It's very much so, and a caring reputation, building a caring reputation as a professional, but also as an individual person, is really important. And you look in the business world too. It really takes you 5 to 12 times more money to get a new customer than it does to just keep an existing customer. So businesses are really well served to show exceptional care to their current customers, especially during these really unusually trying economic times. When really right now, when the going gets tough, we've got to change that saying to when the going gets tough, the tough have to get nicer.
Yes, absolutely.
I can see that.
Yeah. Now, if someone were to ask you what qualifies you to tell us about kindness, what would you say? What is your background?
Well, my background, I mentioned just a little bit, is really I've seen a lot of the best, I think, in people, and then I've also seen some of the worst, and that's through the practicing litigation as an attorney for several years when I was in Canada. And I saw there firsthand when I was practicing law and going to court and dealing with judges and juries that the clients and the attorneys who were kind and who showed respect and they smiled and they thanked other people, they actually had better results. And there's studies that back that up that show that in litigation you get a better result, including more payouts, than when one is kind and courteous and generous.
That's amazing.
As opposed to the person who is cutthroat and potentially nasty.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. You know, I mean, that's sort of, you know, on the one hand, it makes sense, but then, you know, you think of attorneys and all that, and it seems like almost counterintuitive, you know?
Yeah.
That an attorney can be kind and then win the case based on that.
Absolutely. And I mean, they need to coach their clients to the extent they can do that to be kind and friendly and caring, because what you'll see is, I mean, I've had first-hand experience with mediations and with juries, and so much of where a judge or a jury awards a client damages or awards a client and a monetary award is based on completely subjective credibility. It's based on, do they like this person? Do they believe this person? Do they think this person deserves some money?
Right.
And what they do is, I mean, there's a law, of course, you have to follow the rules, and there's certain parameters around monetary awards. For example, in a car accident, you know, how much is a certain type of injury worth? But from there, the sky's the limit. It really depends on how they connect with that individual plaintiff and with the attorney that's representing them.
Right.
So it's a really important skill for the legal field to really grasp.
Right. Mm. So sometimes it's not so much your qualifications. I think just like with the election, I think most people you would find vote based on who they like, you know, as a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think you're really right. And in some ways, that's a little disturbing.
Yes.
Because you'd like to see some evaluation done of
the
skills
issues,
and records.
Yes.
And yes, but I do think that you're right, and I know there's been surveys done, of course, in the political realm that shows that, again, it's how do you connect with that person? Would you like to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them?
Right.
That's the same in business. You want to do business with people you trust, people you like, people who care about you. That's as plain and simple as it comes.
Absolutely. I mean, I will tell you that for the most part, when I vote for people, whether it's in politics or anything else, I need to feel like I connect to that person. I need to feel they're a good person in general. And someone I would have as a friend, you know, and regardless of what they're going to do with taxes and Medicare and all that, it's a question of, you know, can you trust that person, you know?
It's kind of the vacation test you're mentioning, too, which I've heard used, which is it someone, you know, instead of just going for a cup of coffee, is it someone you think that you'd like to hang out with a little bit on a little, you know, a weekend vacation? I mean, is it someone you would appreciate them and their family and their values, and is it someone you can just connect with at a core level? And that's so much of how we make our decisions in our daily lives and our business lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, Kristen, this has been fascinating, really. I mean, I love the book. I read a portion of it, and I find it to be extremely helpful. And I think everybody can benefit from this. We could actually use a nice, kinder society sometimes. You know.
Definitely, especially nowadays. I mean, with this economy, I just feel that it is really, we need to really be unfair to everyone in their own advantage. We need to help everyone we can, and hope we all need to get through this together.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the book is titled Capitalizing on Kindness, of course, by Kristen Tilquist. Thank you so much for spending the morning with us. And when was the book released? Is it recent?
Really, just a couple of days ago. Really, the month of November is its release date, but it should be fully stocked by now in the bookstores.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Congratulations to you. This is really exciting.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And do you have a website you'd like to send people to so they can find out more about you and the book?
I do. That'd be great. It's at kindnesscapital.com.
Kindnesscapital.com. Simple enough.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Kristen, thank you so much, and all the best to you. Congratulations on the book, and we wish you well.
Thank you again.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so that was Kristen, of course. And, you know, I think it's relevant. You know, I find a lot of people are not as nice as they could be, you know, especially on the roads.
Yeah, you know, my little favorite thing that I do is if I know I have to, like, get out into a busy intersection, mm-hmm. And it's kind of packed, you know, I could kind of just wiggle my way in, but my favorite thing is to give, like, the peace symbol and, like, smile before they let me in.
Uh-huh.
That way it's, like, you know, a beat ahead of them, and it's just like, oh, thank you, smile sweetly.
You're right.
And then they're just like, oh, okay, go ahead, sweetheart. And then right. they smile and wave or give the peace sign back.
That's absolutely correct. You know, I mean, if you look at the driver and you acknowledge them, they'll let you through. They'll mm-hmm. let you in, you know? And but if you just try to squeeze in, man, they'll fucking... They on purpose won't let you get in.
Oh, and I will find a way in regardless of whether they're letting me in or not. mm-hmm. That's just the way me and my sneaky little car are.
Yeah.
But but seriously, it makes you feel better, and it makes the person like that's stuck in traffic feel better if you're just like giving them like a smile and you're just like, hey, you know, I'm a human too. Like, yeah. let me in.
Exactly. You know, and I think cars just make us so separate from each other, you know, that it's true, you know, it's like sometimes you look at cars and somebody drives like shit or something, and all you see is the car, you know, and you go, what an asshole. And then you'll stop at the light and you see it's like this innocent woman or something, you know.
What makes you think she's innocent?
Well, I don't know. She looks it.
Uh-huh. If she looks it, she's probably not. I can promise you that.
But it's definitely not this young, crazy teenager that I picture when I see somebody driving like that.
Yeah. Know? Or if I see someone driving that's a total asshole and then like the whole side of their car is like smashed in, then I'm just like, really? Really? Yeah. Okay. Now I deserve to treat you like the bitch that you are. I wanted to tell you, did you ever have take your kids to work day? Like take your son or daughter to work day?
Yes, but I never did. I never took him. Or maybe once. I think
you never did?
I think once. Aww. I took my son. Yeah.
I remember when I was probably like, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9 years old, you know, somewhere around there. I wanted to go. I basically didn't want to go to school. So I wanted to go with my dad to take your daughter to work day.
Uh-huh.
And so we went on the train, you know, went down to New York City to his office. And the first thing we do is we get in his office and he's got a phone call. He picks up the phone. And my dad's like, Jesus Christ, you're such a fucking asshole, you goddamn incompetent motherfucker. And so, you know, I'm like, all right, let's say I'm eight years old, standing in the corner. Yeah, the frozen. Color drains from my face because this is my dad.
Yeah.
You know, usually at home, if like he hammers his nail while he's hammering, mm-hmm. he'll say, dirty dog, instead of like, oh shit, cocksucker motherfucker. you know, because he's trying to like refrain himself into, you know, I've never heard him curse before, basically. Yeah. So all of a sudden, take your daughter to work day, he gets in the office and he looks like he's going to have a heart attack or blow a gasket screaming at this really? Incompetent person. But then all of a sudden, he sees me cowering in the corner and he's like, oh, Tom, you know, I'm just kidding with you. I'm kidding, buddy. You know, I'm the asshole. And then I hear the guy in the background being like, no, really, it's okay, Dennis. You know, I was the asshole. It's my fault. And then my dad starts getting mad again. He's like, no, I was the asshole. So they keep bantering back and forth before finally my dad grabs me and he shoves the phone in my hand and he's like, Susie, tell Tom that I'm the asshole. And so here I am on the phone and I'm like, Tom, my dad's the asshole?
Are you serious?
And the guy was like, wow. Oh, no, sweetheart, your dad's a great boss, really, really. But just like, you know, that was my first introduction to my dad and the way he runs his business.
In the business world.
Yeah. But it's just totally different the way they all are, you know, on a friendship level or in the business world.
It really is.
And things in the construction world are always behind schedule, like things never get done. People are always, you know, reprioritizing.
You mean like you stay without hot fucking water for 12 days?
Yes. Are you on day 12?
Day 12.
Sam.
No fucking hot water. There was some briefly last night, so I jumped in, enjoyed the shower for the first time in days.
It's character building for you. Yeah.
But this guy's not getting his rent.
Oh, my God.
Not for this month, not for next month.
Did he respond to your letter?
No. I sent him. I said, you know, by now, you forfeited November rent. And if you don't fix it today, you're going to forfeit December's rent. So he did. He forfeited both of them.
Oh, my God.
Because he hasn't fixed it. Yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, I need some kind of recourse because I'm so mad. I can't tell you.
Showering is like the highlight of your day, I think.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Susie. You know,
no, I know.
You get up in the morning, you know.
A shower to you is like a glass of wine to me.
Yeah,
I understand.
I suppose.
No, we all have our different things in our life that we really look forward to.
Yeah.
You look forward to the shower. I look forward to my wine. Whatever.
I really do, yeah. And so it's virtually killed me, I mean, this thing, you know. And
wow.
There's been a couple of days where briefly there was some hot water, so we jump in and take a quick shower, but it has to last. So, you know, in the morning I go in and I wash parts of my body with cold water.
Is there shrinkage?
Yes. Yes, there's shrinkage. If you do say so yourself. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
My friends, Election Day is upon us. And I want to ask you one last time for your vote. I know there are some of you with serious reservations about me, Some think I'm too old and don't feel comfortable about my choice of Sarah Palin for vice president. Okay, tell you what. I promise I won't die. No, really, I mean it. She'll never be in charge, I swear. Some of you may think I don't have the temperament to be the leader of the free world. Well, if you think I'm angry now, just wait and see what happens if I lose. Finally, I asked for your vote because it would make an old man happy. Kind of like a fuzzy sweater or finally passing that kidney stone. I'm John McCain, and I don't just approve this message. Hey, I'm begging you, please.
Best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
So, speaking of kindness,
yes. You were kind enough to take off your jacket, and I'm having to look at two protruding nipples threatening to poke me.
I'm sorry. Good thing you sit so far over there.
Yeah.
And you wear glasses, so you won't lose your eyes.
Yeah, there you go. No, I got to be able to look at the view.
So anyway, what I was saying was, speaking of kindness, so over the weekend, actually on Halloween, after I realized that I'm the biggest idiot in the world and my essays were not due for another month, then I realized that I can get dressed up and go out for Halloween. Because originally I wasn't going to, because I don't know. Well, I was going to do a couple other things, maybe go on a bike ride or something. But for the most part, I was planning on staying in for the evening and being a good little girl.
Oh.
Since when does that ever happen in my life, Sam?
I guess
Sam?
It doesn't.
So
what happened to make you change your plans?
Well, I got a phone call at the very last second inviting me to go to Hard.
Hard?
I like the...
Hard?
Hard? Is it hard? So at the very last second, Eric and his brother and a bunch of other friends of ours called, and they said they had an extra ticket that fell into their lap. And this was, it's pretty much a rave. And I haven't been to a rave in, I don't know, like 5 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah. I didn't realize they still do them.
Still do raves?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, my God. So I dressed up as the Cheshire Cat. I had these black fuck me boots on, these like high, like, you know, leather high heels. Uh-huh. Then I had these pink and black, hot pink and black striped thigh highs. And then I had this little black like lingerie thing that was kind of like lacy see-through, like these cute little black underwear. But like my ass was totally hanging out of this thing. Like,
really?
It was not really a dress that I was wearing at all. It was just a lingerie top.
Is that why you wrote on Facebook that you look like a hooker?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize what you meant.
If you'd seen my Halloween costume, you would have realized what I meant. And then on top, I have this big Cheshire Cat hat that I got at Disneyland. So I have this huge Cheshire Cat hat and these huge sunglasses on my face, and then like just totally hookered out lingerie on the bottom with these heels. So I go to this this club, and it was actually outside at the Civic Center in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, Sam, tickets were totally sold out for a really long time, but they ended up being like $500 if you were trying to like try and get them from someone that had them at the door. Like, that's how...
$500
yes,
for a rave?
That's how much people really wanted to go to it, because the tickets have been sold out forever.
Yeah. But I mean, what is it? Like dancing and doing ecstasy, pretty much, right? I mean,
yeah.
So who would pay $500 for that?
To see certain DJs, people would.
Oh, really?
Like DJ AM was there and Justice was there. And I still, to this day, I can't figure out if Daft Punk was there or if it was DJ AM dressed up as Daft Punk for Halloween, just playing Daft Punk.
Okay.
Don't ask.
No, I'm not, because I don't know any of these fuckers.
Well, they're like good electro house DJs, I suppose.
Okay.
But so anyway, so I start, you know, taking my ecstasy, and I'm rolling, and I'm wearing my little hooker outfit, and all of a sudden...
Wait, you took your ecstasy? What does that mean?
I took ecstasy.
I know, okay.
What do you mean, my? Did I say my?
Yeah, you said it. Didn't you say I took my ecstasy? Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, well,
But at any rate, so ecstasy goes with raves hand in hand, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So
you did some?
I did a little bit of ecstasy, and here I am partying, having a good time. And next thing, all you know, or you know, you just want to be like massaged and rubbed, and you just kind of want to make out with someone, and you become very, very, very amorous.
Yes.
Even more so than I usually am, I suppose. But so I'm hanging out with a bunch of friends, and all of a sudden, I sit down and I get a light show, which is when you have one of these little punk raver kids that have these little lights on their fingers, and they come up and they're like, and they're spinning the lights like all in these different patterns around your face. And you look like a complete idiot if you're actually getting the light show, because you're practically drooling on yourself. You're like rubbing yourself. You're like, oh, yeah, this feels good. Oh, baby. As you're grabbing your boobs, and you're just like, like, you seriously look like you belong in a group home. But but anyway, you're having a good time and enjoying yourself nonetheless.
Yeah. So was everybody totally fucked up there?
Everyone was totally fucked up.
Really?
And the most fucked up thing was, is that at a rave, there's no age limit. Mm-hmm. Or no age restriction, I should say.
Because there's no alcohol, right?
Well, there is alcohol, but you have to get a band for it, you know, if you're above a certain age. But, you know, you're around like these 14, 15-year-old kids, and they're all rolling their faces off, too.
Really?
And it's like, I'm a professional. Like, I'm a trained professional. I know how to handle my drugs. You know what I mean? But these little punks, I tell you. And so this was actually kind of funny. Like, even when I got there, I didn't have any drugs to begin with because I wasn't planning on going. And so, you know, I'm 26 now. I'm no spring chicken. So I'm like, I'm walking around and I'm trying to find some ecstasy. And I see this, like, all these kids. And I'm like, hey, do you have any X? And they look at me and they, like, run away. I must be getting so old that I think I look like a narc now. Even dressed up in my sexy little lingerie and my Cheshire cat hat, you know, people were like, narc, narc.
Really?
Yes. I really was beginning to think, I was beginning to worry about all the toll that the partying has taken on me. But eventually it came to fruition and I found my drugs. But anyway.
You found your drugs.
This is all getting back to kindness.
Right.
So meanwhile, I'm getting my light show and this guy comes up and he's dressed like Caesar and he sits down next to me. And he's like,
what, like in a toga and stuff?
Yes.
Really?
With like a gold leaf thing around, a band around his head.
Yeah.
And he had like dark hair. I thought he was actually Israeli when I first met him.
But
it turns out he's Persian.
He's Persian?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
When I told him about... They look kind of alike.
When I told him that I do the show with an Israeli guy, he's like, oh, don't tell him that you met a Persian. He's going to hate me.
Why?
Because, like, I don't know, Persians and Israelis usually hate each other.
That's not true at all.
Really?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. No.
Well,
I mean, you see, Mo calls us. He's Persian, you know?
True.
No, he loves Israel. Yeah, but so is that what he said? How old is this guy?
He's 24.
24?
Yes.
So younger than you?
Younger than me, yes. Mm. I'm a cougar.
Yes.
Brown. But so anyway, he's sitting next to me. We're getting the light show. And all of a sudden, I get up because I have to go to the bathroom or something. And I don't even know this guy, but I look in his eyes and they were just really kind. You know, granted, they were a little fucked up too, but they were also kind fucked up eyes.
Yeah.
So
the eyes captured you?
The eyes captured me. And, like, you know, right off the bat, I met him and he was just really, really nice. And he just seemed like a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you think that I think everyone's a good person.
No, not really.
But no. I really just got a good vibe from him. So I left my purse with him and I was like, I got to go, like, you know, frolic or do something.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, you've known me for like 2 minutes and you're leaving like your life with me. And next thing you know, he's giving me like a full-blown back massage. And then he's like, you know, just totally giving me a full-blown body massage. And we're just having a grand old time. And next thing you know, he was my rolling buddy for the evening.
Rolling buddy.
Rolling
buddy. I'm sorry. What does that mean?
Well, we were both rolling together and you kind of...
Rolling?
Rolling.
Okay. What does that mean?
Like when you're in ecstasy, you're rolling.
Oh, okay. Well, we need to understand that. You see?
I thought you knew
us
the,
old
I thought
farts
you knew
that don't know
the lingo.
Anything, but no, I don't know the lingo.
I thought you were down.
Yeah. I went to a rave once and it was an experience, but it's not like I wanted to go again or anything. But I can see how fun it can be with so many people and shit.
You definitely have to be in the right mindset to be there. And
you really
do.
You
have to be on the right amount of drugs. And be with the right people.
Yeah.
And
well, when I took ecstasy, it hardly did anything for me, you know?
Take more.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was a new drug when I took it. For me, it was new. So I was afraid to take too much because I didn't know how I'd react, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never afraid of how I'm going to react to anything, so.
No.
But anyway, this guy and I ended up hanging out for the entire evening and just like dancing the night away. And we ended up just like, you know, you can't even really have sex like when you're on ecstasy because, I don't know, you're not really capable of it, but you feel so sexual.
Yeah.
All you want
it's
to
like
do is have
sex. It's like your
organs
sort of like freeze, you know? I mean, they like shrivel up.
But my body doesn't. Like I was moving like I was having sex and then I just realized I wasn't. And then it's like, oh, okay. So this guy thinks I'm, and I tell him I have a boyfriend too. I was like, by the way, I've got a boyfriend. And he's like, you are a dangerous, dangerous bad girl.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous bad girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, not really.
Did he have an accent?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I actually think his accent sounds more like, because he lived in Malaysia for a while. His father was a pilot, so he lived in Iran and Malaysia. You know, he's been to Afghanistan, and, you know, he's lived all over.
Yeah.
And then he's half Italian as well.
Really?
But even though he doesn't speak Italian, I think he sounds like an Italian from New York.
Really? Is he Muslim?
I don't know.
I mean, if he lived, you said Indonesia?
Malaysia.
Malaysia.
Yeah.
Malaysia is very, very Islamic there. And all the countries you mentioned, pretty much like Islamic countries.
Well, I will tell you one thing that was really interesting about being with him that evening. You know, we would be walking around, and keep in mind, I'm wearing the fuck me boots with like the thigh highs and the lingerie.
Right.
And my ass is just hanging out and just like shaking in the air, just like asking to be spanked.
You didn't get any pictures?
I have one picture that I took, and then Eric took a whole bunch of other pictures. There were a lot of pictures taken. I have to track them down.
Yeah, I'd love
though.
To see what you looked like. Yeah, put it up on Facebook.
I will try and track them down. But so the one thing I was noticing about walking around with this guy, you know, being a Muslim or whatever he is, you know, all of a sudden this one guy, we were arm in arm, our arms were linked, and this one guy was walking towards us, and he totally looked me up and down and was like, "Hey, baby." And he got really jealous. He's like, "I can't believe that guy just disrespected me like that. You know, you're on my arm."
Yeah.
And I've never had a guy like demonstrate like a sense of like ownership, and it's like, "You're mine."
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I kind of liked it.
You liked it?
I kind of did.
Wow.
You know, because Franz would never get jealous and be like, you know, he would just be like, "All right, sweetheart, you know, that guy looked at you. Go have fun with him. You know, whatever."
And God knows you try to make him jealous.
I know.
But it doesn't work.
But it doesn't work at all.
Because he's not normal. I mean, this guy was normal, you know. And I don't know if it was so much about you, because you just said he felt that he was disrespected, you know. So I think it was more about him than you. I mean, I don't mean to
burst
your bubble.
No, it was.
Yeah.
But it was nice that, like, a guy felt a sense of, like, ownership,
ownership
about having
him.
Me, you know,
you see,
on his
cool.
arm.
And that's why you're so cool, you know, because another woman would have said, "Who does he think he is? He doesn't own me, blah, blah, blah," you know. So that's why I think that's, it's neat.
But it was just, I don't know, it was just really nice. And then, you know, he was offering to, like, buy all my water that we were needing and everything. Yeah. And then we went out dancing later that night. And
well, that's cool. So you connected.
Yeah, we totally connected. Yeah. I ended up hanging out with him in Long Beach last night, too.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
All the way in Long Beach?
Actually, all the way in Fullerton.
Really?
Yes.
Is that where he lives?
He lives in a bunch of different places because his family just came over. Well, his mom and his sister, and he doesn't want them living by themselves.
Right.
So he's got like a couple different apartments he's staying in at the moment.
Wow, you must have liked him if you drove all the way there.
Well, it was. I do like him. He actually is. He's a really nice guy. I'm supposed to give him a shout out. So, hi, Sam, because he's listening right now in his office.
Oh, he is. Okay. Yes. Well, congratulations. He just met a wonderful woman. So
yes,
we'll see.
Thank you.
That could be the beginning of a new affair. Who knows?
Well, for now, it's just, it's the beginning of a new friendship.
I see, okay.
We're going to leave it at that for now.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Although you probably made out, right?
No.
No, you didn't make out. Oh, okay.
Well, cool. I made out with him at the rave.
Oh, at the rave?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. Who cares when it was?
Pretty hardcore making out and heavy petting. Yeah.
Okay, well, friends don't do those things.
Yes, they do. At raves, you need to have a good friend to make out with.
Friends don't make up.
Oh, yes,
make
they
out.
Make up. Yes,
they
do.
Make out.
Yes, they do. My friends
maybe
all make
your
out.
Your friends, yeah.
Yeah, I told Franz about that. I was like, "Yeah, I made out with this guy." And he was just like, "What? You did?"
Yeah.
But he really just didn't care.
Okay, but in your mind, what does made out imply? I mean, kissing and necking? Does it mean fingers, sucking, anything?
No, it was just pretty much like kissing.
Kissing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's making out.
I don't know. I make out a little differently.
How do you make out?
I like to let my hand under the shirt and stuff.
That's not making out.
What is it?
That's grabbing a boob.
Yeah, what if you do it while you're kissing?
That's making out and grabbing a boob.
Okay, shut up.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Is that all? You do one hand under the shirt and that's it?
No, I mean, you know, obviously you keep going, you know.
I like my hair pulled when I'm making out, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of like...
So you need to grow it out a little longer.
No, this is actually the perfect length.
Yeah.
Look.
Did you just had it cut or something?
Yeah, like a week, 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Okay. I've been wondering when you were going to fucking notice.
Really?
Thanks for fucking noticing. It's been like seriously 2 weeks. Since before I went to New York.
Really?
I've had I should have had two vacations since you've noticed my haircut.
Yeah. But you know, with women it's hard because you put your hair up in different ways, you know? So it's like, you might think, she should just put it back or something,
no.
You know? You came up,
it's not hard.
You came in here with a different hairdo the other day.
That's because it was long and it needed to be cut, so I put it in a ponytail. Now it's so short it won't go in a ponytail.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So what's back with the boyish look now?
I don't know. Mm. It's not boyish.
It is boyish.
No, it's not. Your hair's boyish. You want to see boyish? I'll bring in a picture of me with a dyke spike. That will be boyish.
Yeah.
Then you'll be like, ah, no! Get off my radio station!
So you like your hair like this, or did you like it long, too?
I like it when it's much longer or when it's short like this.
Yeah.
When it's in between, I can't stand it.
Really?
It just gets annoying. It crawls on my chin and on my neck, and it pisses me off. And
then
I'll get drunk, and I'll just cut it myself, and it'll be a disaster.
Yeah.
So that's kind of kind of that.
Yeah. The short hair looks good on you. It doesn't on everybody, you know, but men generally prefer long hair.
I don't give a fuck what men prefer.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Men prefer me whatever way they can get me.
That's true.
And that is one thing I have noticed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So have you gone bike riding this weekend?
You know what? I have not been bike riding. I have not been on my bike since before New York.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking about that today, and I'm getting really kind of stir crazy about not having been on it. It's just been, I've been so busy, and I've been finishing moving, and I can't move, obviously, on my bike, and then working with the kids. I can't put the kids on the bike.
Yeah.
So I think I'm actually going to ride my bike to school today.
Yeah.
Just because I have really nothing to do except go home and roast a chicken and then ride my bike to school.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw those pictures of you holding the baby on Facebook.
Oh.
You totally look maternal.
How cute are those pictures? Don't I?
Yeah, you look very happy with the baby in your hands.
It just fits. It feels so good. And I have this his mom has this thing called a baby Bjorn. It's like a reverse backpack that you throw the kid on your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of like do everything. You do all your chores around the house with the kid just attached to you. And the kid's like bouncing around happily attached to your stomach. And it just feels right with the kid just hanging there. I don't know. It's something weird about it. It's like it feels like it was just meant to be there.
Yeah.
But my Persian friend, Sam, he's like, by the way, I make beautiful babies.
Oh, yeah? Why? Has he made any?
I don't know. You know what? He sent me that message, and I never asked him.
Mm.
So I need to ask him if he's telling me something.
Yeah.
If he's giving me like a
secret. He's probably just proud of his sperm or something, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Mm. Hmm. An Irish.
Was he pretty handsome?
An Irish Persian baby. What would that look like?
I don't know. It could be pretty cute.
You think?
Yeah. Was he handsome?
Yeah, he's pretty cute.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
Mm.
I don't want to give him too much information because I know he is listening.
But so?
I don't know. I don't want him to get a big head or anything.
I know you don't want to out anybody either.
No, definitely not. Anyway. Well, but so after that, after the rave ended at like 4 in the morning, then I lost my car and I couldn't find my car for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so he totally ditched his family and his friends to like help me find my car for 2 hours. And he's like, really? He's like, you really have no idea where your car is? And I'm like, well, I thought I did, but obviously I don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
As we're wandering around.
Yeah. What men will do for pussy, man. I'm telling you.
And he didn't even get any pussy.
No, he didn't, but he's hoping to.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the way it works?
That's the way it works. Yeah, just let us put our penis somewhere. That's all we want.
Ew. I hate when you like oversimplify things like that. It just sounds so nasty.
But you know what? On the primitive level, that's exactly what it
is. What?
We want to make a deposit somewhere.
Ew. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Well, hopefully it'll be on my face. That way I can get my facial.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my God.
I know, the bukkake thing that we talked about. Yes. Wasn't Friday the best show ever with Tracy?
It was pretty good.
It was a funny show.
It definitely was.
Yeah, I had to listen to the whole thing over.
Really?
Yeah, it was really funny.
I don't even remember what we said.
Yeah. But you know what? I got to bring up the point that was she... Okay, I need to understand this. Was she trying to say that her boobs were real?
You know what? I think, like when she was saying before that, it runs in the family.
Right.
When she was saying that,
right.
I think she was kind of insinuating that they were real.
Yeah, you see, and
but there's no way in hell.
But also, you said something like, "Ooh," when I asked her. I said, "So you felt you had to do something about it, like to sort of like grow into the size of your family." You know, I don't remember the exact words,
mm-hmm.
but you sort of like give me that ooh, you know, like you said the wrong thing, like I said the wrong thing.
Did
know?
I?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
So, but I mean, yes, I was talking about the fact that she has. I mean, I don't think she's
they
trying
are
to hide
massive.
It. Not only that, but they look like fake boobs.
And you know, she was trying to fill like, or not fill, but like, you know, go up next to Pamela Anderson,
mm-hmm.
who's got the fake boobs, obviously,
yeah.
And fitting into the bathing suit, the exact same bathing suit that Pam wears.
Yeah.
you know, there's no way that those could be real.
I mean, they're
and I grabbed beautiful, one. I grabbed one.
And what did it feel like?
Totally fake.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I know fake boob from real boob.
No, I mean, I do too. It's really easy. That's why I thought it's a foregone conclusion that she's got fake ones. But I don't think she's trying to pass them on as real.
Yeah, but she did make that comment about being like, you know, oh, it's all part of the family.
Yeah.
Part of the Bingham girls.
I know. I figured, yeah.
Well endowed.
but no, I mean, look, also with a girl with such a tiny body.
Tiny.
Right?
She's got a tiny frame.
She's very tiny.
Like her hips are like this big.
Yeah.
No one can see how big I was making, but I was making a really tiny, like small little thing with my hands.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, she's more or less demonstrating the circumference.
The circumference of my,
of my,
my thumb to thumb, my pointer to pointer.
Yeah.
Yes. That was it.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break.
We've
hopefully,
our guests
are already here.
Cool.
And we'll be back right after this.
There are two candidates who've run out of campaign cash, but they've got a plan.
John, if we don't come up with some money, Obama's going to win.
I have an idea, Sarah.
John and Sarah make a porno.
Looks like we're doing it.
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
John McCain and Sarah Palin star in the election's funniest movie, John and Sarah Make a Porno.
You just have to say to your privates, come on, my friend. You can do it.
Whoa there. Do you always talk to your...
Yeah.
John and Sarah Make a Porno. Coming Tuesday.
You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
She's simply awesome.
radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Where are our guests, Susie?
It's like exactly 10 o'clock.
It is.
Is anyone ever really on time these days? First of all, it's LA, blah, blah, blah.
That's true.
I love how like that's just an excuse.
Yeah, but I'm always on time. I don't care. I swear to you, I'm always on time.
Well, you're the exception to the rule, Sam.
I guess. You know, you just got to take enough time, you know?
Well, sometimes there isn't enough time.
Look, Susie, if you can get to a place 3 minutes late, 5 minutes late, you can get there on time, too.
I'm actually amazed I made it here today. You know, thank goodness because of the daylight savings. You know, I woke up an hour late because my phone died when I went to bed last night.
Oh, wow.
And that's like my alarm. Yeah, no alarm went off.
Oh.
I woke up and I was like really confused. I was like, wait a minute, it's light out. What's going on here?
Yeah. You see, well, you're getting used to getting up early. That's cool.
Well, thank goodness for daylight savings. It makes it a lot easier.
That's true. But the day is going to be over at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
I know. That's one thing I really don't like, especially being in night classes. It's like when you go to class and it's still light, that's fine. When you leave, it's dark. But when you actually have to go to your last class at 6:30 and it's pitch blackout.
I know.
Then
it's depressing.
Then you feel like it's like, oh, I should be at home. I should have a bottle of wine. I should be like reading a book or something. I should not be sitting here in class right now.
Yeah, I know. I know. I used to feel the same way. And or coming back from work when it's dark already, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty depressing.
I know.
But you know, I'm glad to have the winter almost here.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of liking the fall. I've never... I spent last winter here, but I spent probably like 2 months of it back in New York and on the East Coast, and just traveling and through Vancouver and Florida. So I actually missed like the entire winter here last year, I felt like.
Yeah, well, there wasn't much of it.
Well, I missed the entire rainy season. I did not have like one day of rain last year.
Yeah.
I actually didn't think
I'm
it rained
you.
In California.
No, it doesn't rain barely, you know, and it really didn't rain that much last year at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully this year. I don't know. We definitely need the water, though.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, especially since I have to run the water for 15 minutes to try and get some hot water, and then it never comes.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I would be so pissed off.
I am.
I don't know how you're doing so well.
But I don't know what the fuck to do anymore, you know? But we definitely made the decision to move out of there.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh.
We've been wanting to for a while.
Oh,
you know, because that's the way they treat everything there, you know, like shit. You know? You're talking about kindness, there's no kindness there.
Yeah.
These people will be so fucking rude to you, you know? And so then my wife...
Will you get your deposit back if you stiff them on like 2 months of rent?
Oh, fuck it, you know.
What do you mean, fuck it? Fuck it, you don't care if you get your deposit back or not?
No, but right now I don't feel like paying rent, you know?
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Seriously, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's bullshit, you know? So you want to hear something really funny. I mean, my wife calls and she leaves a message on the weekend with their answering service.
Mm-hmm.
So the answering service says, okay, well, they told us to tell you guys to be patient.
And,
I mean, 10 days later without hot water, be patient. You know?
Patience, grasshopper.
Yeah.
Also, Daniel-san. Mr. Miyagi says.
Oh, man. So how is the new place?
I do like it a lot. Lisa and I are getting along like really well. I feel badly. Last night, by the time I got home from Long Beach, it was only like 11 o'clock, but I had gotten stoned down in Long Beach.
No, not you.
Well, I don't usually get stoned that often. I really don't. I'm more of a drinker and not a stoner. But I do like to get stoned on occasion. And so since I had such a long drive back from Long Beach, I was like, all right, I'm not gonna go out drinking very much.
Right.
Very much. No, seriously, I only had one beer over the course of the evening. You should be very proud of me.
I'm very proud of you.
But
wine at all?
No, well, I had wine earlier in the day.
I see. Excuse me.
I have my road soda. But shut up. But anyway, yeah, so we smoked a blunt last night in Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I can't remember the last time I smoked a blunt.
Uh-huh.
First of all, it's kind of like a ghetto thing, I guess. I don't know. It's what I used to do when I was like 14, 15. It's like, yo, man, let's come over to my house and smoke a blunt. But it ended up getting me so, so, so stoned. I was quasi-retarded, and I don't use that word lightly. But driving home, I was watching my GPS, and I get so hungry when I get stoned. I just have to eat, mm-hmm. which is why I really don't like smoking that much, because I feel like I'll gain 200 pounds in a week.
Really?
But so I felt badly for Lisa, because by the time I got home, like, she was totally asleep, and my stoned ass comes, like, banging into the kitchen, and she could totally hear everything, and I really wanted, like, this turkey chili that I had. And so I'm like, ooh, turkey chili with, like, chopped up tomatoes and, like, diced onions and some cheddar cheese on top, and then some cut up avocado.
Yeah.
And so I made, like, this whole, like, chili avocado cheese feast in the middle of the night while she's sleeping.
Doesn't that come in munchies, though? You know, I mean, usually it's the potato chips and the chocolate and shit.
No, I definitely have weird, weird food cravings.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm going to be like when I'm pregnant. Maybe I'll actually start craving normal food. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I hadn't had dinner. I'd had, like, a really late lunch. I had burgers at the counter with my girlfriend Davina and two of her guy friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny when I go out with a girlfriend and they want me to meet their other friends.
Right.
I always kind of feel like I'm on display. They're just, because she prefaces the whole thing with, like, oh my gosh, you guys have to meet my crazy friend Susie.
Yeah.
And it's like, why do I have to be the crazy friend Susie? Why can't I just show up and be, like, the normal friend Susie?
Because you're not normal.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I have to ask that, because that's you. And the thing is, maybe that's what you're... Well, I don't know that you necessarily want to project that, but that's what you do. I mean, you know, the stories that you tell are unusual.
And even on Facebook, you know, I got a friend request from my girlfriend, Adriana, that I have not seen in over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sent me a message being like, from looking at all your pictures, I could tell you're still the same crazy Susie.
Still crazy after all these years.
Like, exactly the same thing. And it's like, was I really that crazy back then?
Wow.
Like, I don't think I was. But in comparison to everyone else, I guess I am.
Yes.
I don't know.
You're a bit eccentric.
A bit. I hope I'm not going to be like some crazy old lady. I don't know.
No, you'll mellow out. I can already see you mellowing out a little bit.
I am.
Yeah.
My partying is,
maturing.
I'm stretching it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, even though I was out dancing until 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, that was such a long night. I'm still only doing that maybe like once every other month now.
Yeah.
Or every month.
Hmm.
Ish. I don't know.
Ish.
Whatever. Who cares?
So what are the plans for the holidays? You said you were going away. Of course, I don't remember shit. Are you still going to Australia?
You know what? I think I am going to still go to Australia. It's getting a little bit complicated now. I've got to see. I've got to look at my school schedule because I have to take two classes over the winter, which is over my Christmas break, which is when I will be in Australia.
Mm.
So if I could take two courses online, I will take those when I'm in Australia.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Wait,
when are you going to have time to do that shit when you're traveling in Australia?
You bring your computer and, you know, you get a landline and you have to do like an hour's worth of work a day per course. So I'll have 2 hours of work. I'll sit down at a coffee shop and get like Wi-Fi and I will bang out my work.
Okay. So I need to understand this now. So you're going by yourself or with someone?
All by myself.
By yourself. Why Australia?
Well, because going way back to how I ended up in California in the first place, I was supposed to go to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a layover in LA and I got drunk and I didn't go to Australia.
Mm.
And so my father for, Christmas last year gave me my travel insurance money, for the canceled trip.
Right.
Which, by the way, he doesn't think it was a canceled trip. He thinks I had food poisoning and couldn't get on the plane. So please, Daddy, I hope you're not listening. but yeah, so he ended up in turn helping me get another plane ticket to Australia a couple months ago.
Mm.
And I am just going. I'm going on my own terms. I have no one to stay with. I have no hotel booked. I have nothing.
Wow.
I'm just getting on a plane. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to have no idea what to do when I get there.
And you like that?
I've never actually traveled that way.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
For some reason, I thought you would.
Well, all the times I've traveled, like, all over Europe and Africa, like, it's always been, I've always been with friends that are, you know, pretty affluent. And, you know, we go and we stay in, like, five-star hotels.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I was in Rome, like, we were staying next to Colin Powell, like, in the same, like, hall with him. You know, and it's like, I've always wanted to go and do the backpacking thing or stay in a hostel, but I never have.
Yeah.
So now I'm going all by myself and I'm going to have like no money. I'm really going to have to rely on the kindness of strangers.
God, that takes so much courage and balls to do that.
I know. I'm getting really nervous about it actually, but nervous, excited in a good way.
Yeah. So what's the motivation to do that though? I mean, aren't you afraid? You just, whatever's going to happen, you know,
what could happen?
You're on your own. You don't have a place to stay.
I'll find a place to stay.
You're not going to have money.
I'm going to ask for Christmas for money from all of my various family members.
But please, you just said you're not going to have money when you get there.
Well, I don't have any money right now, but I'm going to see how much money I can accumulate in the meantime. Which I probably should start saving, considering that trip is, oh my God, it's like 7 weeks away.
Yes. And how long is it going to take for you to get back?
I'm leaving on December 28th for Australia, and I get back on January 14th.
Oh, wow. So that's like 3 weeks.
Like 2 weeks and a couple of days.
2 weeks.
2 weeks and a couple of days. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this position will wait here for you that long.
I was wondering about that. Yeah. But I did tell you right from day one that I did have this trip planned.
No, I'm kidding you. Mm-hmm. What the fuck, you know?
And you know what? This might actually be kind of fun because you can get, like, I don't know, maybe get other hosts to fill in my position or something, or get an interim.
Well, you better. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to.
But calling in, because I think it'll be like nighttime in Australia.
Yeah.
So I will be in full-blown party rage Susie mode.
Yeah,
so
you can call in. Yeah.
Who knows what kind of stories I'm going to be having to tell. Oh, my God. Well, I was already planning on getting like a really big calling card and doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But you can call on Skype, too.
Oh, I could call on Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to get you a webcam set up with this.
Why?
So you can look at my smiling pretty face.
Oh, okay. Well, we need the webcam on your...
I have a webcam. Macs have them automatically built in.
Okay, so you don't need us to have cameras here, do you?
I want to see you guys.
Oh, okay.
I want to have you look at me and give me those little faces that you give me that are just, you know, either disapproving or just like, oh my God, rolling my eyes.
It's not my place to disapprove of anything you do, you know? No. But now you understand why people refer to you as crazy. I mean, people don't do these shit.
People don't go to Australia?
No, they don't do these things. Well, not under the circumstances that you're going, I don't think.
I saw the opportunity and, you know, I didn't have this job at the time. I had nothing to do. I had like a couple weeks off over Christmas as far as I was concerned, and... You know, it's really great to go home and spend a couple of days with my family, but a couple of days home with my family is plenty. I love them dearly, but I gotta go.
Yeah. So almost 3 weeks. Wow. And did you decide where in Australia you're gonna go?
No, I do have one of my really good friends out here and his girlfriend Cameron and Lindsay. He's an Australian Jew. I never thought there were Australian Jews.
The Jews are everywhere.
Seriously though, like how does Australia like get Jews?
I'm telling you, they're everywhere.
I don't know. But so he and his girlfriend, well, he's from Australia, so he's going to be there visiting his family for a month or so, and so. I'm going to meet up with them at the Great Barrier Reef right after New Year's. Oh. That's like my only plan that I have so far.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Listen, I'm going to play a short thing. Do you want to just see if our guests are here?
Sure.
Okay. We'll be back in a couple seconds.
I just don't know who to vote for. I feel all stopped up.
If there's a stubborn clog in your campaign decision-making process, you need Liquid Joe the Plumber. Liquid Joe the Plumber goes right to the source of your indecision to work fast.
Now my choice is flowing free. Thanks, Joe.
Liquid Joe the Plumber. It clears out the doubt.
Okay, well, we don't have our guests in the studio. And what do you say to that?
I say they're late.
Yeah? You think so?
Well, did you confirm with them, Sam?
It was confirmed, Susie.
I don't believe
confirmed
you.
It was confirmed. Come on, an interview like this, I did confirm. And in fact, they approached us, or their publicist, and... You know, and we got him to come in, you know, rather than just be on the phone. So I was looking forward to this, but I'm sure, you see, just like we didn't trash Tracy on Thursday because we didn't know what happened, right? So you don't want to trash anybody until you
know. We still don't know what happened, and I maintain she was too hungover.
You think so?
She said she's been partying like a rock star lately.
Yeah, but apparently it was just a mistake on her sister's end. But
blame it on the sister.
No, I mean she blamed it.
It's always the sister's fault.
Yeah, there you go.
I always blame my sister.
but no, I'm sure something's come up and we'll reschedule. So,
c'est la vie. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do, Susie?
Nothing.
So okay, so let's go back to that Australia thing because this fascinates me.
Okay.
Now you're gonna go to the outback.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you're going to go that far and not go to the outback.
I know. I also kind of want to try and maybe go to New Zealand while I'm there, too.
Mm.
But actually, my new friend Sam that I met at the rave yesterday, or over the course of the weekend and yesterday, he was telling me that he's got a ton of friends in Australia. And so he's like, you know, why don't I get in touch with all my friends and I'll see if, like, you can crash with them over the course of your trip.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and find all of my people around here that know people over there mm-hmm. and see if I can just start building a network.
Yeah. And you forgot to remind me that we need to remind the listeners to call in.
Oh, yes.
I always forget. And for those of you who want the number, it's 323-203-0815. And I know I never ask, and so I promised I would ask and remind people that you can call in and talk to us if you want to know anything about why Susie is going on this crazy trip. This is the place to do it.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm reading a text message right now.
Yeah.
And it's from Sam, the guy that I met this weekend, because right. I sent him a text saying, like, I gave you a big shout out. And he said, I heard everything you said. He's like, love, love, love.
Yeah.
But he's like, laugh out loud, you misunderstood me on the whole Jew and Persian thing. He's got the wrong impression now. He's like, the funny part was men doing anything to get some.
Yeah, well, that's true. But we don't try to hide that. We all know.
I don't know.
But that's cool. That's
he probably cool. could have gotten some if he had tried a little bit harder. I don't know.
Mm. Don't say that to a man. He's going to fucking jump off a roof, you know?
Actually, the funny thing that he told me, he's like, I went home from the club after I dropped him off at like 10 in the morning. He's like, with the worst blue balls I've ever had in my fucking life. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I went home and masturbated for like 2 hours.
This guy goes, wow, I met this firecracker, man.
He doesn't know what to think of me. He's like, right, she's fucking crazy.
I know.
Again, I don't know why.
I don't know what I would do if I ever, like, met you or something. We started talking or something, and you told me all these stories. And
well, he didn't believe any of my stories at first.
Really?
He's like, oh, yeah, don't believe anything she says. It's all lies. It's all lies.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I was like, well, take my card and listen to my radio show, and that'll prove that it's not. And even the same thing with my girlfriend Davina yesterday. We were out having burgers, and you know, she starts introducing me to her two friends. And then she's like, okay, guys, I've got to preface this with everything she says. It seems like a lie, but I promise you it's not. Like, she told me how she was hunting in Africa, like hunting a zebra. And she's like, next thing you know, I get a picture of her in a bikini with a 30-06 standing over the fucking thing. She's like, I don't even know what to think.
So how did you end up killing a zebra? I mean, I've wanted to ask this for a long time.
I haven't told you that?
I think you told me a little bit. Yeah, you told me about the guns and
Stoner,
all that.
Stoner, you
yeah.
forgot.
Fuck you. No, but wait a minute. Why are you in a bikini in the middle of the jungle?
It was hot.
Yes.
And I was working on my tan line.
Yeah, but there's bugs and animals and shit.
Well, that was a thing. The first time I went in May to June. And May to June in Zimbabwe is actually a really good time of year to go. It's not too, too hot. Mm. Like, it's not, like, humid and, like, you're just sweating and wanting to kill yourself.
Yeah.
But it also gets, like, a little bit cold at night. So, I mean, the temperature was kind of perfect. You just kind of layer, and then, like, as the sun goes up in the course of the day, it gets a little bit warmer. And then you're perfect in a bikini because there are very few bugs.
Yeah.
I went again the following year in October.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my fucking God. The trackers, who are the black, like, native Zimbabwean people.
Right.
So the very first day we go out to go hunting, I'm in my bikini. You know, actually, I was wearing a little white mini skirt and, like, my bikini top. And my
Going hunting.
But, like, my ass is, like, practically hanging out of this little white miniskirt, and I've got, like, my hiking boots on.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting in the back of the truck, and these guys, and this time of year in October, it was super hot. Mm. I mean, like, you're sweating. And so these poor guys, you know, they're covered head to toe in, like, almost ski gear.
Right.
And I'm looking at them. I'm like, you guys, I'm like, aren't you boiling hot? I'm like, seriously, like, take some clothes off. And they're like, they start looking at me and laughing. They're like, you're going to see in a couple minutes, sweetheart. So we start going off in the truck, and when you're moving, like, the bugs aren't so bad. But as soon as we stop, you know, instantly, like, we come across some obstacle that we've got to tow the truck over or whatever. All of a sudden, I get out of the truck, and I have to smack myself in the ass. And I'm like, ow! Like, what was that? A tsetse fly, a huge, huge tsetse fly.
Are you serious?
Bit my ass.
Jeez.
My little cute little ass hanging out of my cute little white miniskirt in the middle of the bush in Africa.
Yeah.
The fucker comes up and bites me. I had a
on
welt.
The ass.
Like this big, like the size of a silver dollar from that stupid tsetse fly. And that was just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Those things started attacking us left and right. And here I am, like my skin is just completely exposed.
My God. Wow.
So that's why they were laughing at me just in their snowsuits, even though it was like 120 degrees.
And then the next day you probably wore the same thing again, right?
Yes, with a lot of bug spray. You just have to prepare for these things.
Yeah.
But out there, I'm telling you, like, most bug sprays don't work. Like, Avon Skin So Soft is the only thing that actually really works.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that actually really deters the stupid bugs out there. Mm. But I ended up creating like a fun little game, taking rubber bands. And you know how you can stretch it on your thumb and your pointer finger to make it into like a gun?
Right.
And so I'd have the trackers in the back of the truck with me. And so they'd be sitting there and I would see like a tsetse fly right above one of their eyes. And I'm like, hold still. And they would start cowering in fear as I'm pointing this rubber band like gun at their eye. And I would snap it and I would shoot the tsetse fly. And so I taught them how to do this. And next thing you know, we're just like shooting tsetse flies off each other's heads. And it became a whole big competition. So.
And how long were you in Africa?
Each time I was there for a month.
A month.
Yeah. Mm. Wonderful, wonderful month.
Did you stay there in nice hotels?
No.
No. I mean, but Zimbabwe doesn't have nice hotels.
Actually, I think they do have like one nice hotel in Victoria Falls. Mm. But when you're staying in the bush, which I love.
Yeah.
You gotta love that. Today we're going deep into the bush. The first time I heard that, I almost peed my pants. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm really not the most mature person. And like, they don't understand like that we call like a vagina or a pussy like bush.
Yeah.
And so I'm dying laughing. They're like, what? We don't get it. With their English accents. And I'm like, deep into the bush? Ha ha ha. But you're staying in tents. But the tents have like mahogany floors or teak floors. And, you know, they're raised up on platforms so the hippopotamuses can walk underneath them and not like kill you and crush you. And you've got like electric fences all around. And you've got running water and like a shower and everything in your tent. Mm. I mean, it's not the most glamorous. Right. But considering you're staying in the bush, you've got some really nice accommodations.
Yeah, and you probably get some hot water at least. I don't even have that.
It's hit or miss with the hot water. It's either really hot or really cold or somewhere in between. It's never exactly what you want. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. After being covered in like tsetse fly bites and... you know, everything else, and sitting in the fire all night, you just take your shower and you love it.
Yeah.
But the maids over there, those are my favorite part.
Really?
Oh my God, you've got people waiting on you hand and foot.
Yeah.
And the way they do your laundry never ceases to amaze me, because they're washing it in the river with like those old-fashioned like scrubbing boards.
Really?
Yes. And they don't have detergent, like they're using their old weird soaps made out of like animal fats, but the skin, or the clothes when they would come back, it looks like the best dry cleaning job ever. Everything came back
serious?
Completely. Like, I would spill all kinds of wine all over my shirt, my white shirt, and it would come back completely white the next day.
Oh.
Completely starched, even though it wasn't starch. Mm. I don't know what they do, but they have the most amazing techniques over there to just maintain a house.
Wow.
I would like to bring one of my natives back with me. Is that wrong to say?
It is.
Why? Think of all the opportunities they would have.
Yeah.
And they work for hardly anything.
That's true.
No, that's...
maybe you'll find one in Australia.
Mm, that's not all I'm looking for in
native.
Australia. Ooh.
Native.
I have to find myself a nice native over there.
Are you going to do some extreme sports?
I've never gone scuba diving. Well, not is scuba diving.
No, scuba is not
snorkeling.
Extreme.
Snorkeling.
It's not extreme.
Really?
Extreme is jumpy bungee.
jumpy bungeeing.
And... hang gliding, I guess, and climbing,
you,
rock climbing and shit.
I've been rock climbing for years. That's not really that extreme to me.
No?
But bungee jumping, I told you I did the world's second highest bungee jump in Victoria Falls.
That's true, you did.
That was fucking insane. I took 2 Valium before I did that bungee jump, and I still almost, like, peed my pants.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I'd be scared as hell.
You don't even know. And because, like, doing it in Zimbabwe, like, the ropes are not... I don't know. They don't have any regulations over there.
Yeah, exactly.
So as I'm jumping, I'm watching the rope fray before my very eyes. It's like, choom, 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 choom. And the pieces of it are just like, you know, flying off into thin air. And I'm like, oh my God, I've lost it. And then as soon as the rope catches, then you're just like, okay, now I can not have a heart attack.
Yeah. I can relax upside down.
Oh, and the skydiving, that was extreme too.
Yeah.
Janique and I did
that's
that.
That's extreme.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a lot less scary than bungee jumping, I will say.
Yeah, well, it's higher.
No, it's less. Higher. It's less scary.
No, than... I know. Less, I know. So oh, you mean less? Oh, I don't know. What
skydiving was less scary than bungee
less
jumping.
Less scary.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. I mean, it was still really, really, really scary.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
I
Have
know.
You ever done either of those?
No.
Why not?
No. Never had the opportunity. I suppose I never sought it out. You know, but I don't know that I would anyway, though.
Really?
Yeah. Look, I mean, you get older, you get, like, Scared of shit.
See, that's why I've had this checklist of things, like kind of my bucket list after that movie, if you will, of things that I have to get done, because as I get every day I get a little bit older, I just get a little bit more reserved, just a little bit more reserved. Yeah. Don't go crazy on me. But I don't know. I just have to get these things done before I have kids and before I'm like, you know, too worried to actually do all these things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So I'm getting them done, but I don't know what else is left.
What else is left?
Base jumping.
Base jumping?
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know exactly how it works, but people, like, they jump off, like, huge cliffs, and they kind of look like they're wearing, like, a flying squirrel suit.
Oh, really?
Yes. I never have figured out how they land, though.
Well, maybe to the water, no? I mean, do they soar like a hang glide?
They soar like a hang glider.
Really?
But they're just kind of wearing, like, a suit, and they look like they're a flying squirrel.
Wow.
And they kind of just jump off the cliff and go, like, straight down, kind of, like, soaring... Straight down.
Really?
Yes. We'll have to Google it. I'll show it to you later and we'll Google it. But it's pretty intense and pretty extreme.
Yeah.
But you have to have had something like over 100 skydives to even like start the training for it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
You can't just be like, okay, I want a base dive.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
I don't know why anybody would do any of that. But I can see jumping, jumping from a plane, I think, would really be exhilarating. You know?
Yeah. When Janique and I did it, it kind of made me a little bit nervous because it was a really, really windy day. And actually, it started to snow as our plane was taking off. And right before the plane was about to take off, it was my birthday. And so I had paid to have like a videographer like jump with me and like videotape the whole thing.
Right.
And so she was this tiny, tiny, tiny little girl. And so right before the plane took off, the guy who owned the company was like, making like signs and like, you know, hand signals to her. And she was like throwing a fit. And finally she threw a fit and like got off the plane.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what just happened? Where'd my videographer go? And he's like, it's too dangerous. Her shoe could collapse in on her because of the wind right now.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. So you're saying it's too dangerous for her to jump, but it's not too dangerous for me to jump and I'm a virgin? Like, no way.
Whoa.
But apparently because I was jumping tandem, like we had more weight with the, you know, the guy that I was mounted on. I love being mounted onto a hot guy, even if it is like strapped to him with a parachute. God, that was fun. But yeah, so we ended up jumping into a cloud layer in the middle, like over the snow, and then it started to rain as like we got down towards the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty much illegal. Like most people are not allowed to jump like that.
And they let you do it?
They let us do it.
Wow.
I don't know. Like they knew I was in town like specifically for my birthday and to skydive.
Where was it at?
In Colorado.
Oh.
In Colorado in March. Wow. Oh, brilliant idea on my part.
Yeah.
As always.
Yeah, but you got memories.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fuzzy memories, because we had partied hard that weekend.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oy.
So you did ecstasy this weekend.
Yes.
I find that interesting.
Why?
When was the last time you did it before?
When I was camping in Joshua Tree 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Is there any drug you won't take?
Heroin.
Heroin.
Crack.
Good.
Heroin and crack are definitely out. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're coming up with all different kinds of new drugs these days.
Really?
Yes. Like, it's called
like prescription drugs?
No. Like DMT or something. I don't know, something to that effect.
Mm.
They're like mixes of like ecstasy and acid and, you know, hallucinogenics mixed with like feel-good body type drugs.
Yeah.
So you never really know.
It's like designer drugs.
Seriously, there are designer drugs coming out these days.
Wow.
You never know what else you're going to get.
No, you don't.
I feel badly. I feel like we're always talking about drugs on Monday morning.
Really?
For some reason.
Maybe because you do them on the weekend.
No, I don't know. Because every time we're talking about drugs, then the next show that comes on is about the family.
Yeah.
And I always feel like the host of the show comes in, he always gives me like a dirty look. And I'm always like, God damn it.
Well, that's what we do here, you know.
Well, I don't want to get any more dirty looks. Seriously.
Oh man. So what am I going to do here 3 weeks without you?
You should come with me.
Yeah. Yeah, how am I going to run a fucking show without you here?
I don't know, Sam. Yeah. I don't know.
We'll miss you like crazy too. I mean, I'm used to seeing you here every day.
Well, you're going to be so happy to have me back when I get back.
I suppose.
Oh my God, you're going to be so happy. You're going to be so sick of TJ.
If there's still a show going on, I don't think he'll come every day for 3 weeks.
Hmm.
You know? I don't know.
Well,
I'll have different people. I mean, I can have a different host from the station come in every day.
Yeah.
Co-host with me. What the hell?
I'm trying to think of who else that we could have come in that might not even be like a host on the show.
Yeah.
Like maybe someone else that like wants
to
have...
Yeah, some of your friends. Like Lisa can come in once. And...
Yeah. I could start like a whole big list and I'll have like my friends come in on different days and fill
exactly.
it for me.
Yeah.
That could be kind of fun.
We'll do like a visitor list here and we'll put all the names down.
We could. We should actually start like a little contest to see like who gets to win.
Yeah.
All the different days.
Yeah. Like who would get the seat if Susie didn't come back from Australia?
I don't like this. I don't like this one bit.
Well, you're abandoning us behind.
I'm not abandoning you. No. You just came into my life a little bit too late.
I'm sorry.
Right before I got my plane ticket.
I know. I figured it's my fault.
It's completely your fault. You're such a jerk.
Yeah, no matter what I do, it's always my fault.
You've ruined my life, Sam. For God's sake. What are you doing?
Man. Let's just take one more break, okay?
Why?
I don't know.
Okay, fine. No, fine. We'll take a break.
I don't know. I'm all talked out. I feel like today it's like taking an extra effort to talk. I'm just feeling very tired, I think.
Well, take a nap.
You know? Because, you know, like with the new clock, when I went to sleep at 12, it was actually 1 o'clock still, you know? And
but you woke up an hour later, too.
Yeah.
Get over it. Get some Vagisil. Put it on. And stop crying.
Vagisil it is. All right, we'll be right back.
Stumble further down the track.
Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
You know, I can't get over that Sarah Palin prank.
I know.
It's something. And it finally made the news. In the beginning, it wasn't really in the news. It was just sort of like circulating around the internet and stuff. Wow.
That's so bad.
I mean, you know, what does that mean for this country, you know, if she becomes president?
Well, to her credit, you know, she might not necessarily know the difference between like a French-Canadian accent and like a French person's accent.
But it's not about the accent. It's about the fact that, you know what, I guess, you know whose fault? It wasn't as much her fault as her people, her handlers.
Yes.
If they let this get through.
Her handlers.
Yeah.
It could sound like a zoo animal.
Well, that's what they call them. But,
since we're speaking of French people, and this story's on my mind because I told it last night when I was out with my new friends. But so I was working at this restaurant in Venice called mm-hmm. Joe's on Abbot Kinney. A really, really, really wonderful restaurant. If you ever have the chance, if you ever want to take your wife out for like a really nice dinner, take her there.
You used to work there?
I used to work there.
Yeah.
And then I quit because I went to Burning Man and I didn't come back for like five shifts in a row. They had no choice but to fire me. But so anyway, my boss there was this guy, Nico, and he was from France. And so he had a very, very, very thick French accent to the point of like me not being able to understand some of the things he would say.
Yeah.
But so I kind of developed a friendship with him. And then the first week I was working there, you have to take a menu test. And so my very first shift on the floor, like not in training, we had these little old ladies and they came and they sat down at a table like right next to the back server station. And I was standing back there with the other three male servers that worked in the restaurant. I was the only girl, of course. But so Nico comes up to me and he starts doing this with his hand, kind of like he's sliding something in. Mm-hmm. Like back and forth, in and out, in and out, in and out, mm-hmm. and he's like, Susie, I wanted to tell you that I take it and I put it in you, I put it in you, and he's making the in and out motion with his hand. I take it and I put it in you, I put it in you,
wow.
And the old ladies are like, oh my God, and they're just cringing, watching him like make the in and out motion with his hand, like.
Yeah. Does that really think it's going to get him a chick?
He was trying to tell me, but his English was so bad that he took my menu test and he put it in my folder. Because every employee has a folder and they have like their menu test that they've got to take every month or something.
Yeah.
So, but
you have to memorize the whole menu?
And there are so many different kinds of food and like little spices on there that like you've never even heard of. You're like, what the fuck is this? You're like, Jesus Christ. I love working in restaurants because seriously, like I'll walk up to a table and like if their food was burnt, I'm like, oh, it's Cajun style. yeah, don't you love it? Isn't that great? Meanwhile, I'm just like, fuck, the kitchen totally screwed that order up. But you know, you just do anything. Or people are like, oh, what's this? And you're like, oh, why, that's a haricot vert. And then you're like, okay, haricot vert is a nice way of saying a green bean. But you just constantly have to make things up, and you're like, oh, it's a creme brulee barouge sauce.
Yeah, I hate those restaurants when they give you the names in Italian or something, or in French, and you don't know what the fuck you're eating.
You're like, cut the shit, buddy. Yeah. You know, it's spaghetti sauce, okay? Can't you just say it's fucking spaghetti sauce?
Exactly. You know, they try to sound cool and sophisticated.
But you know, some people, like, when they go out and they're taking, like, someone on, like, a fancy-smancy date, like, they want someone that's going to... It sounds so impressive.
Yeah, it does sound impressive.
But to be honest, having worked in those restaurants and having been the server, I don't even know what the fuck that shit is. Some people actually do. I will say the majority of the other servers that worked at that restaurant, like they were restaurateurs. Like this was their job. Mm. It was their livelihood to know the food inside and out.
Right.
You know, I just kind of get by on my smile and I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, huh? I don't know what the specials are. Let me check. That's a good question.
Yeah. So you probably have to taste each meal there. I mean, each course, whatever. Each item.
They have like a whole menu tasting every day before the restaurant opens or before each shift.
Oh, really?
Yes. Which is something I always like because I always love getting the free food.
Yeah, and you're getting good food too. You know?
Really, really good. All organic, all healthy, yummy, yummy. Mm. Shit that you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But how bad is that? I put it in you. I put it in you.
Yeah, I put it in you.
Oh, God. To this day, we should actually prank call him one of these days over at the restaurant and say something. I don't know. I don't know what kind of joke we could do, but we really should start pranking
people.
We'll get creative.
We really should, you know?
It really is so much fun.
I haven't had the time to think of something really original, but we should.
I know.
Yeah, you think of something.
I'm not really creative like that.
Why?
I don't know.
I know. You sort of have to be mean, I think, to come up with a good prank, you know?
I know. Like that Sarah Palin one. That was so brilliant.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't know, that poor woman.
It really was, you know? It really was brilliant.
I was thinking about it. I was like, damn it, Sam and I should have thought about that.
How embarrassing for her.
Seriously embarrassing.
You know, a day before the election.
Oh, and another thing the guy was saying, he was just saying, he's like, oh, so your husband, he's Mr. Joe Plumber. And she's like, well, he's not really a plumber, but you know, he is a hardworking middle class man, and we're not going to take, you know, taxes away from hardworking middle class people. And, you know, just going off like that. And he's like, we have kind of Joe Plumber here in France. And he made like some analogy to something that was equally as horrifying and embarrassing.
Well, we'll definitely have to look for the clip for tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
You know, I'm dying to hear it.
Oh, God. It's so funny.
Yeah. So who do you think is going to win now? I mean, not who you want to win. Who do you think is going to win?
I definitely think Obama's going to win.
You think he's going to win?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. If it's not, wow. I think there's going to be some kind of mass riot in this country if he doesn't.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
I think there might be one if he is elected.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's still a lot of racism in this country. But, you know, I don't know.
You were saying before that you think he would get assassinated or something.
He might. I mean, he's definitely, I think, controversial for a lot of racists and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there'd probably be a few people there who'd want to see him dead, you know. I mean, I don't wish it on him at all. In fact, I think he would do pretty well. You know, he would do pretty well, I think, as a president. And we definitely, you know, and that's the thing. I'm not necessarily voting for Obama, but I'm voting for the Democrats. I want a change in the government. I want to take a break.
Do you think there ever is it? When has the government ever affected your day-to-day living?
They do. I mean,
whether there's a Democrat in office or whether there's a Republican in office, my day-to-day life has never changed. It stays the same.
Let me tell you.
The sun still comes up. The sun still goes down. I still come to the radio station.
No, that's true. But you know what? If really conservatives come into power, then you may not be able to say everything that you want on the air. A lot of things like this.
Bullshit.
No, I'm telling you.
No way.
Yeah.
They would try and regulate our internet wavelengths?
Oh, yeah. They'll try everything. Yeah, I mean, shit.
I'm unstoppable, man.
Yeah, I mean, who would want anybody to talk like us? I mean, for crying out loud, you know? We're so terrible for the young mind.
No. I think we're wonderful for the young mind. Yeah. We're very open-minded and, you know?
Very stimulating.
Actually, this was a conversation I was having yesterday with my new friend. I was like, I just don't understand those Taliban people. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, they were raised with their parents telling them one thing, or, you know, like the organization telling them one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I grew up with everyone in the organization or the man, so to speak, telling me one thing or what to believe. But I fucking rebelled and I bounced back against all that
shit.
Right. I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand how people can actually like grow up to really, like really, really inherently believe the things, the awful things that they're told to do over there.
Well, that's because they're a lot more religious than you know, so they totally follow.
But I was raised like super religious, so why don't these kids like grow up to be like, all right, fuck you parents, you're wrong?
Because you weren't raised with hatred. I mean, these people are raised with hatred from the beginning.
That's so not nice.
Yeah. No kindness there, huh?
No kindness at all.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I would want to live anywhere else but here.
Somebody needs to give those babies love.
Yeah.
Do you think we should just blow up Afghanistan and start over?
There's a lot of places we should bomb, yeah.
Don't say that. That's
awful.
But
we can't do that. Yeah. We can't do it. Can't do it. So you have to live with it. But still, I think the world does need a policeman. And we're most qualified, I think.
Mm. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
Not necessarily a good thing, no, but...
Especially considering I was in the army and I was one of the police.
But we have to step up to the plate, you know? I mean, somebody's got to do it, and nobody's proven that they can be a good cop for the world. Not yet. Definitely not the communists.
Definitely, you know? Not the commies.
Yeah.
Like damn math professor, commie.
Yeah. We got a phone call. I guess we have time for just that. So
sure.
Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hi. This is St. Louis Steve.
Hi, St. Louis Steve. Long time no talk.
Yeah, you just made Susie's day.
Hey, Susie. Hey, Sam.
I missed you.
I just had to call. I missed you guys, too. You got a great show.
Why,
and,
thank you.
I'm so into what you guys talk about, and I hope the government never turns your radio show off.
No, it's not going to happen. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Steve.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, man.
I'm going
to call in and say peace and love to everybody.
Steve, what's your favorite part about our radio show?
Oh, it's hard to say. Probably the openness about whatever the topic is, how it just gets straight right to the gut matter of it. It's so cool that you can actually tune in and hear some of the stuff that you guys talk about.
We don't sugarcoat anything.
No, and plus I'm sure you get turned on by Susie's stories and stuff, so, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I know, me too.
Oh, goodness.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Bye, Steve.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. So he can't say we didn't answer his call today.
Good boy, Sam. Thank you for answering his call.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap up. We're going to thank Kristen Tilquist, who wrote Capitalizing on Kindness. And what was her website? Was it hername.com?
Probably. No. Oh, I don't remember it.
Okay, anyway, you can go back to the archives and listen to that. And we want to thank our two guests who didn't show up today, and maybe they'll show up next time or something. But thank God we always have things to talk about, so
seriously,
it's no big deal. And Susie, any tests today, any exams?
I've had no schoolwork to do all weekend. That's why I was able to party so hard.
Yeah.
I've been able to party with a free mind.
So you're not going to get a break over the winter, huh? You still have to study.
I still have to study, but I'll be studying in the wonderful Australian sun over there with those sexy Australian boys.
There you go.
Doing it in a bikini, scuba diving.
There you go. You see, I'm sure. You see, that's the thing about you. I mean, it's so easy for you to meet people that I'm sure you'll meet people who will put you up in a nice place and, and feed you good food and everything, you know, hoping they can get that little American tail.
And on that wonderful note, we will see you guys tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.